Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Rhino down there in Studio X, he will cross all the T's and dot all the I's and make sure everything works as well as it possibly can. I am still live here at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. We are presented by Yuengling Flight. We are brought to you by Dossett Big Four here in, technically in Saltillo, but we're going to say here in Tupelo just for the hay of it. 46 years. That's how long Dossett Big Four has been your family-owned destination for great vehicles and award-winning service. If you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, you don't have to wait. Find your next vehicle today at Dossett Big Four, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. You can visit them online at DossettBig4.com. I have made a promise to the American people that we're going to talk about that whole thing. I'm going to try not to say his name until I have to. We're going to talk about it less, much less. That being said, I'm listening, Brian, from Zach in Oxford. Do Mississippi State fans really ask about this situation? I'm not joking. I'm being serious. Didn't think they would care. Why would State fans not care about the situation? What happens in Oxford affects things that happen in Starkville and vice versa. And, you know, Ole Miss has one of the best coaches in college football right now. Why would Mississippi State fans? Plus, they're about to play each other. That can affect the game. So, yes, they absolutely care about this national situation, this international incident, if you will, that's happening with our friends in Oxford. But let's talk more about what's happening here in Starkville. Jeff Lebby met with the media today. And I did not have an opportunity to attend that. So I got we got Robbie Falk on the scene, however, and basically coming out of the Saturday game where State loses to Missouri 49-27, and Blake Chapin, I mean, there's just no getting around it. He played poorly in that game, and he's played poorly the past couple of weeks, if we're being completely honest. And after the game, asked about, you know, why continue to play Chapin, why not play Kamario Taylor. The terminology that Lebby used was, you know, wasted plays. That with Chapin in, you have an opportunity to not have wasted plays. And so I said it on Monday's Thunder and Lightning podcast. I said, I want to know what a wasted play is. I want to know what he's talking about when he says you're wasting plays by not having Chapin in. And Robbie asked that question today, and I thought that Lebby's answer was kind of defensive. I thought that, you know, he basically said, I didn't say that Blake isn't wasting plays, which technically correct, which is the best kind of correct. But so Robbie presses a little bit and says, okay, well, what exactly do you mean by a wasted plays? And let me see if I can find the exact quote here from Lebby. I'll just go ahead and tell you that the answer is not, it doesn't give you much. He's not giving you a lot in terms of wasted plays. He said it's about creating predict. This is not a direct quote. It's about creating predictable outcomes, and that looks a lot of different ways. They're not going to be perfect, but from a decision-making standpoint, that's what they're striving to be, and that's what he means talking about wasted plays. What? Did not answer the question at all. I want to know what you're talking about when you say wasted plays. I want to know what you're telling me, how you're telling me that Blake Chapin is doing is not wasting plays. Because I watch Chapin play. Again, all you and I and everybody else out there who's not a coach is, all we can do is watch the games. And so when I see Kamario Taylor in, I see a guy who's being productive. Now, maybe the situations are a little different. He's coming in maybe in some later games where he's the defenses aren't playing as hard. That's certainly a consideration. So you look at the Georgia game, he scores two touchdowns late in that game, but Georgia at that point has kind of already turned things off. That's fine. But I see him being productive. I see Shapen being less so. So it's difficult for you to sit there and tell me that you're wasting plays by having Taylor in over Shapen. I see an offensive line that can't protect Blake Shapen, and I see your offensive scheme has been limited because teams are forcing Shapen to run. They are loading up to keep Fluff Bothwell and Devon Booth from being able to do things. And you can't protect the passer long enough to hit those deep strikes down the field. So all you've got is QB run, but you're putting the quarterback who's not the better runner in there. To me, this feels like there's some common sense stuff happening here. It doesn't make sense. And for me, I just look at it from the simple perspective of if you've got two quarterbacks – and one of them is a better runner than the other one, and your offensive line is a weakness, it just makes more sense to have the better runner in there running the show. Because otherwise, you end up with what you've had these past couple of weeks. Will Levy bring Taylor in if they have unproductive drives and they're down by 14? I don't know the answer to that question. I really don't. I don't know that they're going to want to make a change. I mean, I really do think it may just be one more game with Blake Shapen, and then you move forward. George from West Point, I'm Mississippi State through and through, but I'm deeply concerned about the situation at Ole Miss. It does affect us all. And it's not just here. Obviously, it affects LSU, and it affects Florida fans, because we don't know what's going to happen there. But if you're an SEC fan, it affects you as well. You know, a coach getting hired at a school like Ole Miss who's been playing well, do they take a step back with a new coach or do they keep going? Is this the new normal at Ole Miss? Those are the questions you have to ask. So, yeah, if you're a fan of SEC football, what happens at any of the other 16 schools should be of interest to you to some degree. And when it's your, you know, when it's your in-state opponent or in-state rival, it's going to be even more. So I just think, you know, getting back to Shapen and Taylor – It's been really surprising to me, especially when you consider, you know, think about the situation at Ole Miss when Kiffin arrived there with, and I said his name, but it's different. It's different. We're not talking about that situation. But when Levy was the offensive coordinator there, he had a sentimental favorite at quarterback, right? The Ole Miss fans, they loved John Rhys Plumlee. He had been an exciting player. The way he ran the football, and it's kind of a little different, right, in that he was a plus runner, but Corral was a good runner too. So it wasn't as noticeable a difference there. I think Plumlee, better runner, Corral, better passer, but Corral was certainly good enough as a runner. I wouldn't even say he was a good running quarterback. So the sentimental favorite was Plumlee, but Corral was the more talented guy. So who did they go with? It's Corral. You got to play the more talented guy. You got to play the way that makes the most sense for what you have. And I said this on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I'll say it again here. If you switched coaches this week, and Kiffin was coaching Ole Miss, and Levy was coaching State, is there any doubt in anybody's mind? Because I think we'll all agree that Lane Kiffin is the better coach than Jeff Levy. I will not. I don't care how diehard a Bulldog you are. We're not going to have that discussion. It's obvious Kiffin is the better coach. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind that Kiffin would start Kamario Taylor? To me, there's not. And I think the same could be said from Kalen DeBoer, and the same would be said of Kirby Smart, and the same would be said of Josh Heupel and Bobby Petrino, and everybody else in the SEC, I think, would look at this and come in and go, okay, I'm going to start Kamario Taylor. But it's not happening at Mississippi State. I don't know if that's a loyalty thing, but if it is, that's not the right decision. You can't win. You don't win football games based on loyalty. You win them based on talent. No question about that. So, very interested to see. You know, we've got 10 more days, 11 or 9 more days, something like that, till we get to the Egg Bowl. It's going to be Chapin, but for how long? And how does that work? I don't know the answer to that. So we shall soon see. Yuengling Flight is the beer of choice in Starkville for a Mississippi game day. A cold, crisp Yuengling Flight goes great with Mississippi State football, college football, or just any old time you're sitting around the house. And instead of Kiffin, say the coach up north. Well, I might do that later. No. Yuengling Flight, brewed for those that never settle. America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery. Enjoy responsibly. Yuengling Flight presents Thunder and Lightning. All right, we're going to stay with football. We're going to talk a little bit more Egg Bowl when we come back. It's never too early. You know, we can talk at the Egg Bowl in June. We can talk it in March. But we are now just a few days away from the game that, you know, for Ole Miss is going to determine whether or not they make it to the college football playoff. And for Mississippi State, could determine postseason play. A lot going on here in the state of Mississippi. And we're just a few days away from the biggest game in the state of Mississippi. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
All aboard!
Sports Talk Mississippi, back here live at Scruggs Farm. That's not Sports Talk Mississippi. It's Thunder and Lightning. That's right. I'm so used to not being here when we do remotes. Thunder and Lightning here at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. When it comes to keeping your vehicle running smoothly, you can count on Dossett Big Four's award-winning service departments. Their certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors service centers are dedicated to providing the best care for your car. So whether you're dreaming of a new GMC, a Buick, or a stylish Honda, the friendly team at Dossett Big Four is ready to help you find your perfect fit. Visit them online, DossettBig4.com, or stop by 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Just wondering from the C Spire text line, what is the solution for Mississippi State football? This clearly is not working, so what's next? So there's two sides to that. You know, we got to be a little more nuanced than that. All right, you say it's not working. You're correct in that Jeff Lebby is making some decisions that make you scratch your head and make you think, what is he thinking? What is he doing? At the same time, he's taken this team from 2 wins to 5. They're clearly improved from a season ago. They're better than they were last year. They've won 2 power conference games. They beat a Arizona State team that was good prior to some injuries. And they, you know, say what you want. It's tough to win on the road. And they won a road SEC game. They were, you know, far more competitive in games against Florida, Texas, and Tennessee than they were a season ago. So when we say it's not working, that's kind of a micro thing. The macro is that he's improved the team. And that if he takes a similar step forward next year, that they could be, you know, really good, be a top 25 team, maybe be on the cusp of the playoff discussion. But at the same time, when you're a coach, sometimes you just got to read the tea leaves a little bit. And I know that the old saying, yeah, if you listen to the fans, you can sit with them. But at the same time, I mean, it goes back to what I've just said. All I can do is watch the games. And when I watch the games, Kamari Taylor is an incredibly productive player who looks the part and gives Mississippi State something that they don't currently have. So I don't necessarily understand what's going on there. That's just me. Give Lebby at least one more season. He's going to get that, barring some sort of unusual incident. I don't think anything's going to happen that changes that. I think Ole Miss could win the game by a large margin on next Friday, and it wouldn't change anything. To be honest, Kamari Taylor won that game. He's the only reason, Brian. I mean, you're not – Kamari Taylor played – you're talking about the Arkansas game. He played a huge role in that. There's no question about that. But Chapin played a huge role as well. Now, I will say this about Chapin in that game, that the throw to Brennan Thompson was not a great throw. Thompson makes a great play in that game. But by and large, I thought that Chapin, in the fourth quarter especially, was good. And State got the win, and I'll give him some credit for it. I don't have a problem giving him credit for that. But Taylor, you know, played really, really well as well and was a huge reason why State was able to get back into that game. That's something else that Lebby said that didn't really stick well with me when he talked about it. It's like, I just didn't think it was fair to put him in, you know, in there for 75 plays. Why not? What would have changed? What would the score have been if Mario Taylor had played Saturday night against Missouri? I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is that I don't think it would have been that different. I would say State's odds of winning would have gone up slightly at the very least, but even if nothing else had changed, you know, you still go up 300 yards rushing to Ahmad Hardy. That's something Kamara Taylor can do. I just don't understand what you mean by that. Like, it's not fair to put him in that situation. You're going to, you know, next year he's going to be your starting quarterback, and you're going to put him in those situations every game. So why not go ahead and get him ready for it in a game that, you know, win or lose, not that huge a difference. I understand what you were saying, but when you say we are better than we were last year, but as a lifetime Bulldog, we're still not good. I'll say it that way. You're right. But at the same time, again, let's be a little bit more nuanced. If State pulls off an upset next Friday, everybody's in a pretty good mood. You know, you're going to look back and go, gosh, they were so close to having some big wins, and they were. But if they finish 6-6 with an Egg Bowl victory, I'm not saying everybody's going to be singing Jeff Lebby's praises. I am saying that people are going to be, by and large, the people who are unsatisfied today will be feeling better about themselves if that happens. Now, that's a big if. It's a good Ole Miss football team. They're coming to Starkville to win, to put themselves into the college football playoff, and to put all the mess that's happening right now, put it behind them, hopefully. But it is the Egg Bowl. And the thing I keep coming back to, if you want to generate some hope for the Egg Bowl, is that last year, that was the worst State team I can remember since I was a teenager, or a young teenager. And that was the best Ole Miss team maybe ever in terms of talent. And State was it was a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. And State had an opportunity there. They played defensively. They played one of their best games of the year against Ole Miss. Really, outside of that long run by Ulysses Bentley, they did a great job against the Ole Miss offense that day. So I have some optimism that they can replicate that with a better, more talented team. And one of the things I've said a number of times, and maybe I should rethink that, but if you go back and rewatch that game and some of the throws that Michael Van Buren had, where he missed some open guys, wasn't able to complete some passes, that he had time to make those throws. I've said a few times, I was like, man, if Chapin played, that might have been a little different game. I don't know if I necessarily believe that as much now, having seen Chapin play this whole season. Which, by the way, it's kind of – Chapin is one game away from playing a whole season. I know a lot of people preseason would have taken that bet and lost some money on that Chapin would not have gotten 11 games in. But he has. And I will give, if you want to give Blake Chapin credit for one thing, I'll give him this. He's a tough son of a gun. He's taken a beating this year. He's been sacked more than just about any quarterback in the country. And yet he has kept getting up, and he hasn't missed any significant time. He missed couple quarters against Georgia in a game that was already out of hand. I will for a guy whose reputation coming into this season was injury prone, he's definitely answered the bell, and I'll give him that. You got to give him credit for that. This game, and you know, we're obviously going to break it down a lot more in the coming days. What I would say about this game is this: there's no pressure on Mississippi State because 5-7, 6-6. Yes, you'd like to go to a bowl, but at the end of the day, the pressure is completely on the other sideline. They have to win to go to the playoff. I think we've gotten to that point now, looking at the rankings and hearing what the people in charge, Hunter Yurecek, are saying, that this committee, for whatever reason, and I don't necessarily know that I agree with them, this committee is valuing who you lost to more than who you beat. And that said, in a world where if you have a 10-2 Oklahoma and a 10-2 Vanderbilt and a 10-2 Ole Miss, a loss at Mississippi State is by far the worst loss in that group. And that might be a deciding factor for who goes to the playoff and who doesn't. So there's a ton of pressure on Ole Miss. And then on top of that, you have all of this other stuff that's going on. I guess we'll talk about it here. And I was there in 2022 when all of this smoke was around Kiffin going to Auburn, and it affected his team. And so you wonder if it's going to happen again. And then you have this talk about an ultimatum, and if that's a real thing, and I know Kiffin said it wasn't, but why would he say anything else? Kiffin's not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, they told me I got to make a decision by next Friday. That he's not going to do that. So if that's a real thing, that's bearing down on him. There is a chance. I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen. I want to say that one more time. I don't think it will happen. But there's a world where Kiffin walks away from this, and he's not coaching. And you're talking about interim coach Joe Judge, which is a great story. Former Mississippi State quarterback coaching Ole Miss to get them to the playoff against his alma mater. Great story. But it would be his first game as a college head coach. There's just a lot on the line right now for both of these teams. But the pressure for this game is on Ole Miss. They're the ones who are having the unnecessary distractions. It is in Starkville. I know there's going to be a large Ole Miss contingent at this game, but they will be outnumbered, and the cowbells will be ringing. There's a lot that makes me think Mississippi State will have a chance in this game. I think this game is going to play out like the last two Egg Bowls have played out. Close game, and in the end, Ole Miss probably pulls away. They find the touchdown that puts the game out of reach. But I think we'll go to the fourth quarter, and Ole Miss fans are going to be looking around going, oh, no. Oh, no, this can't happen. I think that's what we're going to see happen when we get to Starkville. And then if State can do what it hasn't done this year and make a play in the moment of truth, well, then there could be an upset on the cards. But we'll talk more about that at another as we get closer to it. We've still got some ways to go. Let's switch the gears. Let's talk a little basketball when we come back. Not exactly the most awe-inspiring start to the season for Chris Jans and his guys, but we will do that when we come back. Presented by Yuengling Flight, the next generation of light beer, as you see right there on your screen if you're watching on Super Talk Television. A cold, crisp, light beer, but only 95 calories, only 2.6 grams of carbs. Makes it the perfect beer when you're tailgating the Junction or if you're just watching college football at home. Brewed for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly, Yuengling Flight. Live here at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Still going to have a few more minutes with us. Come by and say hello. Be back in just a minute.
Night. Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Sports talk. Nope. I'm off my game today, Rhino. What do I need to do?
You gotta stand on one leg and hop in a circle while you brush yourself off and then spit to the left.
I'll do that later. The next break. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, Rhino is down there in Studio X. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. Here in Tupelo, there's one name to know when you're looking for a new car, and that is Dossett Big Four. They've been doing it for 46 years. Great vehicles, award-winning service. Whatever you're looking for, Dossett Big Four is ready to help you find the perfect fit. Don't wait. Find your next vehicle today. Visit them online at DossettBig4.com or stop by the convenient location, 628 South Closter Street in Tupelo. I went to the Hump Saturday as a fan. I got to go in and just enjoy basketball with my wife and daughter, and that was very enjoyable. And at least the experience of being, you know, just being able to be dad and be able to be husband and be able to be fan for a couple hours. But the game itself was not the most enthralling game in the world. And, you know, look, the thing we have to stress when we're talking about Mississippi State basketball is there's three games. They played three games. And they played one game against a really good team that is likely going to be a NCAA tournament team and could be a team that advances in the NCAA tournament. That's a good Iowa State team. But your other two games against North Alabama and against Southeastern Louisiana, those are not great basketball teams. And I wouldn't say you've been overly impressive in either one. In the first game, you were trailing at the half, and you ended up having to go on a long run there at the end to make it look like a respectable margin. And then on Saturday, it was just a close game throughout, and you could never pull away. Some of your transfers have not looked the way you would have expected them to look in the early going. You know, Quincy Ballard has been, quite frankly, a disappointment through three games. Achor has not been exactly what I expected through three games. Jaden Epps has battled these injuries. He looked okay on Saturday, had double-digit scoring, but still waiting on him to really be that guy with Hubbard. You know, your two best players on Saturday were Josh Hubbard, at what you would expect, and Sean Jones, so the veterans, the guys who have been here. The newcomer I've been the most impressed with is the two freshmen, Jamario Davis Fleming, the youngster out of Canton, and the shooter from Texas, King Grace, a shooting guard. They've shown you some flashes that they could be some big time players for Mississippi State. I'll be honest with you, with Fleming, if Ballard doesn't start playing better, he's going to end up finding his way into the starting lineup as a true freshman. He at least plays with some energy, some physicality. Ballard has I've really been surprised by how poor he's played. Hasn't shown you a lot of the ability to defend the post. Hasn't been that bruiser in the middle I thought he was going to be. And so, you know, we talked a lot last year. You know, the first 2 years of Jan's, defensively they were outstanding, but they struggled offensively, okay? So they went out in the portal last year. They got some scores in, and then you thought, okay, they'll take a big step forward offensively, and defensively Jan's will get them right. And that didn't happen. They did take the big step forward offensively, but defensively Jan's never got them right, and that's why they were losing games. This year, you thought, okay, they overcorrected last year with offense. So this year, it's about finding that balance. It's all about that balance. They'll have guys who can add some scoring, but more guys who can play the Jan style defensively. And that just hasn't been the case through three games. You got two interesting games this weekend. State's in the Hall of Fame Classic being played in Kansas City, Kansas. They're scheduled to take on Kansas State tomorrow night. They are a 2.5-point favorite in that game. They will play the winner or loser of the Nebraska-New Mexico game. So this is some quality competition against, you know, decent teams in this tournament. Here's the truth of the matter is you've already lost a non-conference game. You still have a non-conference game on Black Friday after the Egg Bowl against SMU. That's a power ACC opponent. You have the ACC Challenge against you're at Georgia Tech. That's an ACC power opponent. You still have the game with Memphis when they come to Starkville in the middle of December. December 20th, I believe, is that game. That's going to be a tough game. You can't lose more than three non-conference games. Three feels like the ceiling for how many you can lose, and you've already got one. State's got to figure some things out, and they got to do it pretty quickly. And, you know, Hubbard has been himself. The guys around him have got to be better. I thought, you know, Sean Jones has played some pretty good basketball thus far. But at the same time, you don't need him to be your leading scorer. Games where Sean Jones is the leading scorer should be an anomaly. Especially if it's, you know, if he's getting some putbacks here and there, that's great. But, you know, if he's taking shots, yeah, I don't want that. Don't want that. You got to get Epps, Jabari McGee, a chore. Those guys have got to be bigger scorers for you. And man, does this team miss Cam Matthews. And Robbie talked about this a little bit on the podcast on Tuesday, but he is so right. Like, there were people last year like, man, I'm Cam Matthews. I'm just, you know, I'll be glad when he's gone. Well, you guys were speaking foolishly. He was the glue on that team for the past couple of years. He did so much for Mississippi State in terms of being able to bring the ball up, be able to play defense, rebound, just be a little bit of an enforcer down low and get you some buckets. He did so much. And State's missing that guy. And I asked Jans about that when I talked to him preseason. I said, how do you recreate that guy? Because there isn't just another guy like that on your roster. And he you know, he was like, that's going to be a challenge. And through three games, it's only three games. That's the main thing I want to take away from this, is that it's only been three games. And, yeah, they played poorly in three of them. But, you know, remember last year against, was it Prairie View? They played really poorly in that game, and they won. It was ugly. State's had these ugly non-conference games before, and then they've, you know, as long as you win, it doesn't matter. But they do have to win these games for from the C-Spire text line, have to have some kind of offensive identity outside of Hubbard. You know, you think about, I think his best team was the second team, because you had Hubbard, but you could also dump it down to Tolu Smith and Jimmy Bell and get buckets that way. Cam Matthews and DJ Jeffries provided you a lot of cover defensively. Rams Davis and Shaq Moore gave you some perimeter play. But you had the inside-outside game with Hubbard and with Tolu Smith. And remember, Tolu Smith that year took a little bit of a step back, but I think part of that was with Hubbard. He carried him at times. Willie Hope. Oh, yeah, this is a guy. Yeah, let's talk about Sergei. Sergei Makara, the Slovenian. He's bringing quality to every other aspect of the game. You can tell he's got some game. But at this point, early in the season, it feels like the game might be a little too fast for him here at the SEC level. So that's good, though, because that's something that could correct itself. That's something that 10 games in, 12 games in, he should be okay. But he plays with effort. He gets after it. He plays defense. He plays hard on the boards. He's just got to be a little bit more consistent scorer. He's missed more buckets near the rim. Had two missed dunks in the first game. This guy's 6'9". He should be making dunks. But, you know, I think he'll figure it out as you go along. But that's a guy. You know, State's got to tighten up their rotations, too. And in the first game, I felt like Mississippi State was, like, very intentional trying to play a lot of guys. But you can't play 11, 12 guys like this. You got to narrow into your eight guys and who that's going to be. Another guy who's been playing well, he doesn't give you a lot of minutes, but when Brandon Walker is out there, and, man, yes, I hope you guys are like me. Every time I say the name, Brandon Walker, I just laugh because I'm like, oh, my God, his name's Zach. I really think State should get Brandon Walker to say the name Brandon Walker, so that every time Brandon Walker scores, you hear, Brandon Walker, and I think it would be funny. If you're listening out there, Mississippi State, that's something you should go with. But he gives you he's not giving you a lot. He's giving you 8 to 10 minutes. But, man, when he's out there, he's physical, he plays defense, and he hustles. I can't ask for a whole lot more for a bench guy than that. You know, and if he gets, you know, and he has some offensive game as well. So a lot to work on in these next few weeks for Mississippi State. You know, the SEC play is only, what, 40 days away or so? Right after Christmas, you start getting into conference play. You got 10 more games between now and then. Bulldogs are back in action, like I said, Thursday night, Kansas State, Friday night in the consolation or the winner's bracket, and then they play again on Monday, and then again on Black Friday. So you got 4 games in 8 days for Mississippi State. They need to find a way to be, at worst, 3-1. In those games, if State comes out of this stretch, they're 2-1 right now. If you're telling me that they're 5-2 after the first 7, they're fine. They're gonna be fine. They're 4-3. We got to talk about a little bit more about that. So, a lot going on here in Starkville at the basketball, and don't neglect the women as well. Sam Purcell's team has gotten off to a pretty good start. They're 4-0. They got a big game tomorrow night with Texas Tech. If they can get that win. He's got something going. I saw him Saturday. I talked to him for just a few minutes, and he's very excited about his young team. And I think they have a chance to maybe overachieve just a little bit and be a little bit better than people thought. Yuengling Flight, ice cold Yuengling Flight on a Mississippi game day. It doesn't get any better than that. If you want to enjoy a cold, crisp Yuengling Flight in the Junction or wherever you're watching the Mississippi State Bulldogs, I highly encourage you to do so. Cold, crisp, but best of all, only 95 calories and only 2.6 grams of carbs. Yuengling Flight, brewed for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly. We'll wrap it up when we come back. We've got three big interviews on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast this week. I'm going to tell you all about them and what you can get ready. It's the bye week blitz, lest we forget. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live from Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo.
Now, Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go!
Let's wrap it up. air on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning live. Super Talk Mississippi here at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They just said the store is closing. We may have to do the last couple minutes here from my car. I'm not sure if they're going to kick us out or not. We will find out. Hopefully we'll be okay. As you know, it is the bye week here, and as we do on Thunder and Lightning, we have the bye week blitz. Earlier this year is when we talked some basketball. We had Coach Chris Jans on. We had Coach Sam Purcell on. And now we move to the diamond. Tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, a conversation with Mississippi State head softball coach Samantha Ricketts. Her program, the model of consistency these past few years, has been a fixture in the NCAA tournament, looking to take that next step to break into the top half of the SEC, potentially host a softball super regional at News Park. And, of course, softball, you know, one of the fastest growing and most exciting sports in all of college sports right now. So I thought that was a really good conversation I had with her. Also, I don't normally delve into politics on Thunder and Lightning. I try to stay away from the political sphere, but when one of the nation's most influential mayors is on the podcast, we have to do that. Jake Mangum joins the podcast tomorrow to talk about his first year in the majors, and of course, we'll talk some Mississippi State baseball as well. He recently participating in the Diamond Dog Classic. Talked about what that meant to him, what it meant to the guys who were able to come back and play for Mississippi State one last time at Duty Noble Field. Really fascinating conference. They are going to kick us out. If the lights go out, I'm going to laugh really hard. So we've got those on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. On Friday's podcast, got to talk to the head Diamond Dog, Coach Brian O'Connor, a really good conversation, lengthy conversation, went in depth for a lot of what he learned about his team this fall, what he's expecting to see this spring. Also got his thoughts on a few other things. I thought it was a really good, long, lengthy conversation. I hope you guys will enjoy it. That's all going to be available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, wherever you guys get podcasts from, Apple, Spotify, so on and so forth. And, of course, you can always just go to supertalk.fm where you can find my podcast, Michael Borky's Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast, and so much more. Plus news, weather, opinion, we've got it all at supertalk.fm. And best of all, it don't cost nothing. You can get all that great stuff for the low, low price of zero. Which, you know, this holiday season, hey, I'm saving you money. So, really, I think the conversation with O'Connor especially, I mentioned this to him, and he talked about the national title for a second, but obviously Mississippi State fans were more excited about winning a national title than any preseason hope. That's obviously a very true statement. But in terms of preseason, I don't know that I've ever seen this much excitement at Mississippi State. You're talking about a first-year coach, I get it, but the man is rolling on the recruiting trail right now. I mean, it is absolutely out of control the amount of top talent he's bringing to Starkville in these recruiting classes. He's got a roster that on paper appears to be one of the best in the country. I think Mississippi State will be a preseason top five team. They will be among the favorites in the Southeastern Conference, among the favorites to get the program back to Omaha. Just everyone you talk to, and you think about this kind of plays into it, is that State fans have been able to get to Duty Noble a couple of times this year after the baseball season. You know, they had the two games with the Party Animals. You know, 10, 11, 12, 13,000 people at those games. You had almost 11,000 at the Diamond Dog Classic. So you're getting to go to Duty Noble and get to enjoy it a little bit more than you normally would. And that's something that's, you know, kind of cool. And I think that has played into the excitement that Mississippi State fans are feeling right now for baseball. So you have an elite coach who's put together what appears to be an elite roster, who has a lot of momentum on the recruiting trail so that the future looks very bright. You play in the SEC, where there's going to be some great games in Starkville this year. You got Vanderbilt coming in, Tennessee coming in, LSU coming in, you know, and you got some good road trips. You got Arkansas, you got to go to Ole Miss. It should be a lot of excitement. I think this opening weekend, you know, it depends on the weather, obviously, if it's freezing cold or if it's raining, we'll see, but could see some big crowds right from the jump at Duty Noble this upcoming season. And I, for one, am very much looking forward to the first weekend of college baseball here in the – well, not here because I'm in Saltillo, but in Starkville at Diddy Noble Field. It should be a lot of fun. I want to thank the good folks here at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They, as always, they roll out, I won't say the red carpet, it's the green carpet. It's the John Deere green carpet when we come here to Scruggs. And I cannot stress enough, this Saturday, their Super Santa Saturday. Bring the kids, 10 to 12. You can meet Santa Claus. And, of course, all of your Christmas wishes can come true with a trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have what you want for less. It's not just a slogan. It is a lifestyle here at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Make the trip this weekend. Great giveaway starting at 7 a.m. You want to be here, and you can get a lot of your Christmas shopping done while you're here. I want to thank Rhino down in Studio X. As always, he has done a better job than me here on Thunder and Lightning. And, of course, we want to thank Dossett Big Four and Yuengling Flight for bringing you the show. When we come back, talk to you next week. When we come back, I'm sorry. I would be remiss not to thank Scary Gary for all he does setting us up here. When we come back next week, boys, we'll be 2 days from the Egg Bowl. Your mind better be right. We'll talk to you then. Thunder and Lightning live at Scruggs. See you next week.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.